Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
It is the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the middle of July. We are in the doggiest of dog days of summer, and we ain't talking about dogs. We did that last week. We might talk a little bit of fish this week, but I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking in your backyard?
Maybe brother? A little dogfish.
There you go. Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining the smokiest show on network radio, broadcast from the big barbecue mitten known as Michigan. We're so glad you joined us. And we love talking barbecue, anything food, anything on the grill, smoker, deep fryer, you name it. You knock the horns off it, wipe its butt, and we're going to throw it on the grill.
Run it right across the fire because I don't like it overdone.
That's right. Yes. Touche. Yeah, so today it's fish on, baby.
Yeah.
Fish on.
If you're a regular listener, you know that a couple weekends ago I spent some time with our friend Captain Ken over in Saginaw Bay, which is in the thumb of Michigan. The little crotch of the thumb is where the bay is. And, boy, we slayed some walleyes. So we're going to talk a little bit about maybe how he prepared those because
right.
He made me a walleye dinner.
Mm. He does a good job.
Oh, man, it's great.
So it was very nice of you, and I stopped to see you last weekend maybe
right, yep.
After the show. You gave me a couple of beautiful packs of fillets. I ran right home and threw them right in the big deep freezer downstairs so they wouldn't get any freezer burn.
Yep.
That's an old-school freezer. And a little word to the wise, you can buy freezers that don't self-defrost.
Right.
Go ahead and do it because it's okay to defrost that hog once a year.
Right.
Get your coolers out, throw whatever's left over in there. Right when it's about empty, great time to do it.
Well, and that is, it's a good reason to empty your freezer, too, because
then you can throw a bunch of stuff away. It's like, I haven't eaten that in 5 years. I'm not going to.
Right, yeah. You know, I write a date on everything I put in there now because I don't eat as much as I used to. And
that's a good practice you've learned from the health department.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, that three-year-old pack of venison hamburger is
I hear you, man. I hear you. I do
I'll boil it up and give it to the dog, but I think I'm done with it.
Exact same thing. I have these wide Sharpies, you know, real wide tip jobs, because after it gets some frost on it, it can be hard to see.
Yeah.
But that's just a great idea. Do the same thing on my canned goods, right on the lid with a Sharpie, so that, you know, once it's a year old for a canned good, I get rid of it.
Yeah.
I eat it or give it away.
Yeah.
So if you've gotten anything from me from 16, it's because it's old, okay? That's the way it is.
Hey, would you like some of these jalapenos?
But you know those asparagus I did?
Right.
They turned out fantastic.
Those won't get old? Is that what you're saying?
God, no. No, Christian's already through almost all of his.
I'm pretty sure I haven't seen a can of those yet.
You might not.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk fish on this show. This week, I've had a lot of fun. I'm working on getting us a new sponsor, and I won't say who it is. But I just visited the gentleman this week, and while I was there, I had to go right by Tontin Lumber, and my new countertop is ready. And so I got to go in, and Daryl took me on a little tour de plant.
Yep.
And so I'm going to pick that baby up Monday or Tuesday, and I'm so excited because it's all the hickory and oak from my property, some sassafras from my best friend Carl's property as my last piece of sassafras. He gave me a bunch of it. And then a little bit of cherry from Tontin, and that's Tontin. If you want hardwood, go down there.
So they made you a butcher
cool
block
place.
Top for your island.
Yeah, well, I bound it all together and glued it and made this, but he's got big planers.
Sure.
So he could plane it.
Right.
And he was highly critical of my assembly job, but he made it look really good.
Right. That's the old silk purse and sow's ear magic that guy's doing.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you know, one thing I didn't do was make sure that my boards were all really, really close in width. I figured he could plane them off anyway, which he did, but he just wanted something to bitch about, I think.
Well,
he's trying to jack my number up. I know.
I'm sure he is, right?
Oh, it was hard. It was terrible.
Yeah.
It looks really cool. I can't wait to get some oil on it. I'm still not sure if I'm going to put varnish or, you know, a food grade polyurethane on it or oil it. If any experts are out there, it's going on a 9-foot island in my kitchen. So,
well, the man,
give me
the,
your give me
the
your
issue
thoughts.
There, Bob, coming from a kitchen guy at Standard Kitchens.
I don't want to know your opinion.
I understand because I already gave it to you. But your, you know, wood is porous, and anything you put on there, unless you oil that real heavily and on a regular basis, and if you choose not to finish it with a hard finish, you cook, you use that island. Wood is porous. It gets humid out. It swells. It gets dries. It shrinks. That's wood. Right, and you can't. That's Mother Nature. So it's going to absorb stuff. Is where I'm at. You dump a can of tomatoes on there. You better get it off there quick if you don't have that treated and treated pretty regularly.
Yeah. So you're saying polyurethane is the only way to go.
Just because you always use a cutting board anyway. You're not going to cut on that.
But
surface.
I'm a slob, and you know that.
Well, I do. And so salsas. I mean, I've been over. You feed your family at your island.
Yep.
Right? So get that big chip of your salsa in it, 3 drips on it.
Yep.
And it's got lime juice in it, which
I
is
think
acidic.
You've got some on
yeah,
your
I got
shirt.
Some on my shirt right now. Yeah.
Oh, you get it. You want me to protect the counter from you.
Right.
Please.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I might be over. Right. Yeah. But anyway, but
that's
you get
why
it.
I made it extra long.
Right. Yeah. I can just keep cutting the end off that I use, right? Slide it down. Yeah.
So theoretically, we're going to talk about fish this morning at some point in time, but. I did want to, talk about how cool it is to make something from your land.
Yeah.
I walked out this morning before I came in here. I walked out back. I live out in the woods just east of Grand Rapids, Michigan, and just a little piece of acreage out in the woods on a hilltop. And it, I don't know, you've been there a million times.
Sure.
It's just a pretty little piece of land I found in 1987.
Right.
Cleared the land, you know, Pioneer, two man saw, all that stuff. No, I had an old McCulloch that weighed about 800 pounds.
Right.
But
you were a strapping young man when you did that.
I was. So now I'm a flabby old man. Yeah. But I love that piece of property, and I know, like, everything about it. So I think, where'd that tree come from?
Right.
This morning I walked out, and I was painting a bumper cover for Olivia. Somebody stole her bumper cover off her Mazda.
A bumper cover? What's
yeah,
that?
You know, the plastic. Oh, it the looks little... like the bumper, but it's really the actual piece of molded fiberglass.
So they trashed theirs
they
and stole
took
hers.
It. They popped it right off her car in the parking garage at GRCC. So I bought her one online, and, you know, I've been painting it, doing a horrible job. But
stole
she'll have a bumper,
your bumper
cover. But she'll have a bumper cover. So I'm out there this morning to look at my work, and I'm like, okay, I think she can live with this because it's going to work. And I hear this rustling just 10 yards from me. And I look over, and there's a ton of turkeys standing right there, a bunch of toms,
yep.
Big, big toms. And I'm like, holy cow, this is the closest they've ever gotten in the house. Well, my dog's getting old. So he's hanging around in the air conditioning. He's not outside.
Sure. Zeus is no dummy.
They're not worried about
wisdom
it.
Comes with age right there, baby.
And I'm just standing there, and I said, hey, you guys might want to, like, back it up a little bit because I love eating turkey.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, looking at me and doing the head bob thing. I no sooner said that, and all of a sudden a stampede, and there's, like, probably only 3 or 4, but it sounded like 20 deer. They just went booking across. They were, like, right behind them. 15 yards from me, I'm like, this is crazy.
This is Walton's Mountain.
Yeah.
Only it's Nirmico's
Hill.
I love it.
And they're getting closer and closer. And this time of year, to see a whitetail, they're such a beautiful tan.
Right.
I mean, I love killing them in the fall and eating them.
Right.
But this time of year, I just admire them.
And where I live is not nearly as rural as you, but I have them in the backyard every
day. I
know
you do.
And the buck's got antlers that are halfway grown
point
in time.
You got those urban white tail.
I do, urban white
They're
tail.
They're wearing right. High tops.
There's a political statement in there somewhere. Anyway, you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's deep frying at its best. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
I got a little change in my pocket, going jingle-lang-a-lang. Wants to call you on the telephone, baby.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Fishing Talk Network today because it's all about fish on with the Grilling Guys, because we talk about a lot of four-legged protein. Now we're looking for four fins, maybe five, depending on the fish that you catch. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob.
Give me no lies and keep your hands to yourself.
Right. Somewhere in there was a fish joke, but missed it.
Good bumper music. Mr. Right. Fongers, the wizard of the big board, producing our show today, making us sound better than we really are.
Right. Well, always. So let's talk a little fish, Bob. You got some components. A lot of people fry fish, right? I mean, that's the quintessential way to do it. There's pan right. frying, there's deep frying, and then there's, we like to put it on a cedar plank. But
so
I want to talk
today
about
you're
frying.
Saying we're the frying guys.
Right, yeah. And I want to talk a little bit about some of the components of frying. You've got an oil and a batter, generally. And I want to take off on the oil here.
Hold on. You're way out of order.
Oh, am I? What do we got to do first? Oh, you need to take a drink of beer.
You have to start with a good microbrew, just like if you're at the grill.
Okay.
Because now you're at the indoor grill.
Right.
Of course, you might have an outdoor fryer.
That's right. One of those big turkey fryers that you put oil in.
And today we're having an El Dancarino from Oddside Ales in Grand Haven. What do you think of that?
I think it's really good.
I love Oddsides.
Right. And we can use...
We got to have them on the show.
Right. Yes, we do. We're going to use a little beer in our batter a little bit later. So this is an ale that I believe that we're drinking.
It's a double New England.
Yep. So
what does that make it? Like Newfoundland?
Right. A double New England. It makes it have a really rich accent is what it does.
It's moose country anyway. Yeah.
So anyway, a little bit about oil, because there's some options that you have with your deep frying oil. I mean, there was one thing you got to consider on all of them, though. And there's a thing in oils called a smoke point. And a smoke point is the point at which the oil begins to break down at temperature, and it will completely ruin the product that you're cooking if you take your oil on temperature above the smoke
and
point.
And it'll set off your smoke detectors.
Because that's exactly what happens, is it turns in and it starts smoking.
Too much smoke for your exhaust.
Right. So we use a lot of smoking when we grill. And we use our smoker, but it's never the fish batter.
Oh, boy, you're on the edge there. You're on the edge.
Right. But anyway, so let's talk a little bit about oil. So we don't want to break that down because it's going to smoke. It's going to make it bitter. Your fish is delicate, right? So you want to choose an oil that's neutral in flavor. I'm not looking to get an oil-flavored fish or a batter-flavored fish. I'm looking to enhance my fish with both of those.
Well, hold on. First of all, I would say, what are you frying in?
Then that's the oil.
Is it a deep fryer, or is it just a kettle on your stove?
Well, and for either one...
Because that makes a difference. Because if you're doing just, you know, a pot on your stove, now you can use any oil. If you've got a big deep fryer, now I'm going to tell you, hold up. Use something that's very non-combustible, like peanut oil.
Right.
But Old World Olive Company will tell you that their garlic oil or their butter oil or their basil oil, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Their Persian lime.
All good.
Mm-hmm. So that's the only time I would say I would disagree with what
you're saying. And I'm going to stay away from olive oils today because they're prohibitively expensive to use in a deep fryer. I mean,
right. So you're talking deep fryer.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
I'm talking deep fryer. And you can use a little of it for flavor because they do put a profile
in. And I'm going to say as a caveat, if you don't have a deep fryer and you're just going to do it on a little burner on your grill or in your kitchen, you don't have to have a deep fryer. You can get some nice EVO and just put a shallow layer in a big cook pot.
Right.
And you're still fine.
Because what Bob's talking about there is then I've got to handle the fish. I'm not going to submerge it in the oil. I'm just going to put maybe like a third or a half an inch in the bottom of a pan, cook it on one side, flip it, cook it on the other, which you can do. And the olive oils are great for that. But I just don't want to put 2 gallons of olive oil in a deep fryer because it cost me $150 to buy it, right? So, but anyway, peanut oil, probably the most affordable of the oils and one of the most popular. It has a kind of a neutral flavor that won't really affect the flavor of your fish. Plus, it prevents a flavor transfer. For whatever reason, peanut oil keeps a neutral flavor. You don't get a flavored oil when you're using peanut oil. It doesn't absorb the flavor of whatever it is that you're cooking.
And it'll take a lot of abusing, too. Right. I ran my last batch up to like almost 450, and it didn't really blacken.
No, ironically, that according to what I've read, that the smoke point on peanut oil is 450.
Yeah.
So you don't...
That's why a lot of deep fryer thermometers will... go red right at 450 then.
Yep, exactly. Next type is a canola oil, which has a higher smoke point and a more neutral flavor as well, but it's a little bit better for you than peanut oil, and if you have peanut allergies, this is a great alternative.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're talking frying fish, so you didn't turn into the frying guys.
Right, but so a canola oil... is omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids. It's a healthier option than the peanut oil.
Wow.
What's
a flash point?
What is 400 on that versus 450? And then cottonseed oil. It's affordable, making it an excellent option. And a lot of restaurants will use cottonseed oil because it works well for frying in bulk, right? And again, it's light. It doesn't adhere to a lot of your food, and you can filter it and recycle it and use it over and over. Again, a 450 flash point there.
How about linseed oil?
Linseed oil is going to go on your countertop. It's not going to go in your pot.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be under the pot on the counter. The last one that we looked up is coconut oil. Now, this is obviously the healthiest of them all, but it also puts a little bit of flavor in your fish.
It's the healthiest.
Yeah. That's what.
See, that's new. Because for 20 years they told us, coconut oil, it's what's killing you.
Right.
And now it's the best thing for you.
Right.
So that's really interesting.
Yep, it's a natural oil. So, you know, you don't have to put a ton of thought into that. Just, you know, we're cooking fish at 350 to 375. All of those are below that flash point.
So tell me again about coconut oil.
Well, the coconut oil is a natural oil, obviously, that's pressed out of the flesh of the coconut. And therefore, it's an all-natural product. There's man-made ingredients in it. It's not a formula. It's just a process, and then it's filtered to get the chunks, if you will, out of it, and then bottled up. But
so you could put lime in it.
You could do anything.
Put the lime in the coconut.
Yeah, but then I'd have to call you in the morning, and I don't like getting up and doing that. Yeah.
Sorry. It was too easy.
Yeah, well, not really.
Coconut.
But my
wife and my daughters all have coconut oil. They're putting it on their skin all the time. They're doing all kinds of stuff with coconut oil.
There you go.
So it's interesting that you can cook with it.
Right, and I think there's a cooking grade of it.
I'm sure. I'm sure it's not the same stuff.
Don't go down to cosmetic aisle
on
to
her
get
legs.
It.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But you could do coconut shrimp.
Yeah, but it might make you know, a lady's legs look luscious if they rub it in coconut oil.
It does. So, I can vouch for that.
There you go. Yep. Right.
So we're digressing.
Yeah, I think we just did.
Back to legs and wings. So how about walleye wings? You ever have those?
No, but I've had cheeks. I've had walleye cheeks. They're because as the fish gets a little bit bigger, there's literally a little medallion of meat on each cheek of the fish, and it's very tender because they don't talk much. It's not a muscle that they use all day.
There's a bar up on Lake Ogibek, and they're famous for their walleye wings.
Yeah?
Yeah. Legendary place.
Coming up next, a little sauce piquant from our guy named T-Gid. You'll remember him as one of our board of directors. He'll be with us. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guy show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the middle of July. It's the dog days of summer, but we're talking fish. And we've got a special guest on the grilling line right now. I should probably say the fishing line, right, Bob?
That's right. One of our board of directors, T-Gid from Percy Guidry, the Cajun Grill Company, Lafayette, Louisiana. What's up, boy?
Hey, bonsoir, monsieur. I'm doing good. How y'all been?
Well, we just want to tell everybody about this sauce piquant.
Sauce piquant, bros, where it's at. What you want to talk about, bro? You want to talk about Cajun food, how we do that on the Cajun grill?
First, I want to know, what does it taste like? I'm hungry.
It's almost indescribable. It's, well, to define what sauce piquant means in French, it's a sauce, of course, and piquant stands for a pick, a little prick. And so
I used to work for him.
God, Bob has made that sauce over and over. We can stop right now.
No, you know, when you make a tomato-based gravy, it has that kind of acidy, kind of
right,
strong flavor. Well, that's the piquant. That's the pick and the piquant. So it's a real simple dish. It's, of course, you're going to use stewed tomatoes, tomato sauce, tomato paste, onion, you know, the holy trinity of Cajun cooking, you know, the onions, the bell peppers, and the celery. And you're going to, you know, saute that down, add your tomato base in there, add a little beef stock in there, and just kind of slow simmer that. We do it on the Cajun grill. You can cook it in your kitchen, but you just want to slow simmer it. Add that smoky flavor of love from your favorite grill and just let it go for a few hours. Add a little bit of water if it starts to steam out. And after you kind of get that base going and you season it to taste, you know, we use a blend of different seasonings here in Cajun country. But, you know, that's the good thing about cooking. You know, everybody has different taste buds. You just kind of do what you want. And, hey, side note, Cajun seasoning does not mean, I can't even eat it. It's too dang hot. It's not about hot. It's about the right blend of heat and the right blend of spices like garlic powder, onion powder, a little paprika, you know, and of course garlic. And you just kind of let that simmer down, and then you got your favorite fish fillets, right? So I don't know, what kind of fish y'all like to fish for up there?
Well, Jop just caught a bunch of walleye, so I want to make it with the walleye he gave me.
Okay, and you'll normally fillet that?
Yep, yeah. It's a fillet, and it's a very mild white fish.
Perfect. Because we use speckled trout down here. We use redfish, which is a little bit firmer fish. It's a salt. All these are saltwater fishes. I've used it with bass, freshwater bass. But yeah, you take your walleye, you fillet it, you season it on the outside on both sides, and then after about an hour and a half of simmering all this sauce pecan on the grill, you just slowly and gently lay in those fillets into that sauce. And if it's not covering it entirely, you can spoon it over onto the fillet or about halfway. I mean, it doesn't take long to cook a fillet, right, guys?
Right.
So
10 or 20 minutes max.
So for those people who don't have a Cajun grill, we're going to hook you up because we're going to hook you up because the Cajun grill is coming back to Michigan in a big way. And we'll talk about that in another show. But you could use whatever charcoal grill you've got. And you could put a Dutch oven on a job.
We made maybe three shows without mentioning that word. Maybe three.
And am I right? You could put that on a kettle or a charcoal grill of any sort. Put your sauce on there and close the lid and simmer that sauce.
Yeah, and I'm gonna even go a step further, and forgive me for saying this, gentlemen, but you could even probably put it on a gas grill and put some wood chips in there and just, you know,
sure,
kind of achieve a similar thing. But there's something about charcoal grilling with natural lump char wood and accent wood that just does the magic happens.
And for those guys with pellet smokers, you could even throw it in your pellet smoker. And I'd throw the heat up to about 400, so you're not real heavy smoke, but you're going to want to get enough temperature on there to get that thing to simmer.
Right.
Yeah, you had a baking temperature. So anywhere between 325 and 400, you're dead right, Bob. You want to get it up to where it's just bubbling like lava. I call it the lava of love.
It would look like lava.
Lava of love, baby. And so, about halfway, about 10 minutes into your fillets cooking in that sauce pecan, you just kind of get your spatula and gently roll it over to where the other half of the fish is now on the bottom, and it's soaking up all that beautiful, rich, gravy and sauce. And then you just make you a nice pot of white rice. And if you're health conscious, you like brown rice, that's fine.
Sure.
We like white rice down here. And
sure.
Grain is probably the best. And then you stew that up, and then you just put a big plate of heaping serving of white rice on your plate, and you ladle some of that sauce onto that white rice, and you can put a whole fillet or half a fillet, depending on how many people are eating or how hungry you are.
So if
and
you just
top it off with some onion tops on top of all of that,
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're talking with the one and only T. Gidd, one of our original board of directors from Lafayette, Louisiana, owner of Percy Guidry Company and home of the Cajun Grill, made by Percy Guidry himself and your papa, Guidry. So anyway, a legendary grill. If you're an old time grill guy, you've seen the Cajun or maybe owned some. But you mentioned something.
Bro?
You said Cajun Holy Trinity, and that's funny because Chef Schultz is another one of our board of directors who's on here often, and he talks about the Holy Trinity, but in culinary terms for general use. The Holy Trinity is onions, carrots, and celery. So you're saying onions, carrots,
bell
and bell
pepper.
That's just cool.
No, he didn't have carrots. He had onion, bell pepper, and celery is what T. Gidd said, right?
Right.
That's
but
exactly
Bob
right.
Schultz is, and chefs will tell you, or other chefs that are not Cajun, will tell you the Holy Trinity is onions,
carrots.
Celery, and carrots.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. Everybody's got their own Holy Trinity.
I guarantee you ask a Cajun chef what the Holy Trinity is, and they're going to debate that with you.
Well, they're all Catholic, too, so.
Well, maybe until they're half Cajun. All right.
Take this to a higher court? Is that where
yeah,
we're going?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We need a Supreme Court justice to rule on this, I'll tell you.
Yeah, well, they'll debate that, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that's okay. But hey, man, I mean, let's talk about the new Cajun Pro. I know you were excited to see that.
I am.
Come out.
Man, I am.
Let me tell you. You know, the original Cajun grill, which we still make, single cold tray. The beauty of it is that you have 8 positions. You can adjust the cold tray and height to your protein, to your food on the grill. The new model, the Cajun Pro, can either be used as a built-in model for outdoor kitchens, or if you don't want to do an outdoor kitchen, you want to stay mobile, you can get it on a cart with some beautiful drawers and 2 huge side shelves. But the unique thing about it is that you get 2 cold trays now. 2 cold trays, so you can actually do ayayay cooking, like fast cooking and slow cooking simultaneously at the same time. It is unbelievable.
Well, I've been
are
doing
they left and right, T. Good, or are they front and back?
Left and right.
Front and back, baby. Front and back.
Oh, your handles are left and right.
Yeah. Okay. So if I can create a sear zone and a slower cooking zone, is what you're saying.
That's exactly what you can do.
Right.
Yeah. And we do that
all beautiful.
The time. Even with the Cajun grill, you can put a cast iron pot in the pot holder. Not just on the grill, but in a pot holder and submerge it into the body of the grill and lift the coal tray to where the coals are literally sitting on the bottom of the pot. And you can do pot and pan cooking and slow cooking at the same time, whereas before...
Like a Dutch oven, you mean.
It does
and the horse you rode in on. Yeah,
that's right. Prick.
Dude.
Sauce pecan.
Peak. Okay. T. Gidd.
Yes,
Percy Gidrick Company, the Cajun Grill, my brother, thanks so much for joining us. I love you.
You guys are the best. Y'all keep up the good work.
All right.
We need more guys like you out
tell
there.
Tell us about your YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah, we got a YouTube channel. Actually, you can check us out on KBCG-TV, and we have all our shows on demand, the Grilling with the Guru shows. We cook exclusively on the Cajun Grill. All kind of beautiful Cajun dishes. You can also go to our website, CajunGrill.com, where we also have all those videos posted. We'd love to hear from you. Send us a link. Send us a comment. We'll get back to you. Peace, love, and barbecue, my friend.
All right, baby.
Take care.
We're out.
Coming up next, we're going to smoke your fish. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Satisfaction's been our name since 59. Been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Bob. T. Gidd, man, he's just a great friend of the show and just a world of knowledge. You guys get a chance to check out his YouTube page. One, they're very entertaining, but two, there's a whole lot of knowledge in there that you can pick up if you if it ever rains in Michigan again. We had something to do on a good rainy day is to sit down and watch a couple of his YouTube videos.
Yeah, but if you do watch Grilling with the Gurus, you'll never listen to us again. They're good. I'm telling you.
Yeah, they're good.
Hey, I want to give a little shout out to Chef Schultz. Speaking of board of directors, one of our original members, Chef Schultz, he is on the road to recovery, been healing up from a little medical procedure. We want to send a little peace, love, and barbecue out to Chef Schultz.
He's a culinary instructor at a college. And has been a frequent contributor to the show, co-hosted with me when you're on the road a lot of times.
And, he's my fill-in bitch.
Right, yep. And to that, I raise a glass and toast to Chef Schultz.
Cheers, baby.
Speedy recovery, brother. But anyway, let's smoke some fish now, Bob. You can go to Leelanau, which is in the little pinky of Michigan, and they're famous for their smoked white fish up there, and it comes as a whole fish with a... You know, the eye's still in it, the head's still on it. They've
I love that
run
look.
A thumb down the middle of it and then put it in the smoker. So
what are they smoking in Leelanau?
What? In Leland. It's in Leeland, which is in Leelanau County.
You're right. That's the little town with right on the Lake Michigan.
It's literally a fish town.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah, it's got that little channel it goes through.
Right,
and it's like
dammed
something
up
out
river.
Of Popeye.
Yep. Platte River comes out there and it dumps into the bay.
That's a cute little town. That's where that bakery that... Stone Bakery or whatever it is.
Yep. You and I spent a weekend up there 1 month and had a good time. We did. We did some shows up there and then went over there and had some food. But anyway, remember they had the smoked chub in the Bloody Mary?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that, right? They give you a whole smoked chub.
What a cool little town. It's got that little, the mouth of the river comes right up through the middle of the town, all the little boats and a lot of fishing boats.
Right, yep.
A lot of fishing going on.
And they
on.
Catch a ton of whitefish out of there. And there's actually the Indians.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Indians actually.
So those
have
are whitefish that they're smoking.
Yeah, have permit for the waters out there to net them.
Because it goes up to Lake Leelanau.
Right, yeah.
And that's all full of walleye.
Right, yep.
Okay.
But it's above the dam, so the salmon and stuff don't get up there. But anyway, smoking fish is a cool thing. And you can do whole fish, like I just described, or you can do fillet, as T. Gidd would call it. And now you and I have a difference of opinion on grilling fish, but smoking fish, I think maybe we both agree that you leave the skin on it when you're smoking it. And then when you serve it. See, I do.
Nope.
And when I smoke it, then you can take it off with a fork and the skin stays behind, but it creates a little bit of of an adhesive to keep it all together. So, because when you smoke it, it gets flaky.
See, if I'm going to grill it, I'm going to leave the skin on it because I'm just going to grill it with the skin down and I'm not going to flip it. I'm going to close the lid, put it on real low and slow, throw a little flavor wood on, put my citrus or whatever I want on top. But if I'm going to smoke it, I'm going to put it probably on a cedar plank because if it's salmon in particular, salmon's a little punky in my opinion. So I want to let that cedar neutralize it a little bit. So I want the skin off it so that meat's laying right on that wet cedar. It's just a... You know, prep.
So
it's a personal.
You're
going
to do that in the smoker or on the grill to
either,
smoke it.
Either.
Okay, so in the smoker,
I want the skin off it if I'm smoking it.
I see. Okay, and I don't.
If I'm going to grill it, I'm going to grill it on a. If it's salmon, I'm going to grill it on a cedar plank.
Right.
But we're not really talking salmon. We're talking any kind of fish, right?
Right.
So I'm going to probably use a grilling basket.
Yeah. And why?
This is too easy because it sticks to the grill.
Right. And it. You don't, when you smoke fish, you don't need to flip it because it's a low, like smoking anything.
And they're thin.
It's a low temperature. They're thin. My only caution there is don't over smoke them because it's very delicate meat and it'll suck up a lot
doesn't
of smoke
take
in
much
hurry.
Smoke.
Right.
If you just use charcoal, good charcoal, you're fine.
Right.
You don't even need
a
to
lump
throw
charcoal.
Flavor
you don't need
it.
Any wood. And don't overcook it either because you don't want it. It goes from really good to really bad quite quickly because it'll get hard and dry on you if you overcook it.
Then you're going to be making a dip.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Crumbly. What are these little crunchy things in this sour cream dip? Oh, yeah, that's that white fish.
So T. Gidd, in that sauce piquant, he gave me a great idea. You know, I'm not a big trout fan. You know why? Because it tastes like trout. So I'm thinking that sauce pecan might be strong enough with the acid in it and stuff that
from the tomato.
You could put some trout in there and have a halfway decent meal out of it. Otherwise, I'm not going to be liking trout.
Yeah, that's your personal preference. See, I really enjoy trout because I enjoy the flavor of trout. You don't.
Yeah.
Right? And so, and there's a lot of guys that are avid trout fishermen that are catch and release, but there's also a bunch of us that are catch and eat.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
And I don't even fish for anything I can't eat.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to go bass fish. Now, actually, T. Gids convinced me that bass are good eating. So, I would probably go back and eat some. But I haven't had a pole in my hand all year. I mean, I'm pathetic at fishing the last couple of years. I just haven't had the time.
I've had a little bit of fun with it. You know, our friend Chaz from Schmo's Brewery catches a ton of fish. He's a very avid fisherman. And he'll tell you that smoked fish is one of his favorite things. And he'll do panfish. He'll do crappie and bluegill. And he'll put them in his smoker with just a light little bit of smoke. And he's got some special recipes. We'll have him on another time and talk about those. But at the end of the day, you can smoke any kind of fish you have. But to your point, the grilling basket is probably a great tool
to be using.
Right. If you take the skin off, like Bob says, that fillet is very delicate. And if your grates are a half inch apart, it very easily could fall through once it starts to cook. It's going to get a little brittle and flaky, and then you touch it once and boom, it's on your fire.
Yeah, so you take your, if you got a grilling basket, if you get the kind that kind of clamp together so it looks like a big fly swatter, basically, a big flat surface. It's got two things, grills or grates.
Almost like one of those Tonka toasters, only it's wire.
Yeah, presses the fish together. So I'm thinking you'd want to dip it in a little bit of milk, drag it through some drakes, and your seasoned drakes, put your seasoning in with your drakes, and then put it in the basket and grill it that way.
Yeah, I struggle with getting results for batter-dipped fish.
Not batter, just a little bit of drakes.
Drakes is a batter, isn't it?
No, but dry.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you were going to run it through some milk.
No, run it through milk and then a little dry drakes just to give it a coating with the seasonings in
it. Okay.
So you have a little bit of a crust. So when you're grilling it, you can get it to crisp up a little bit.
Yeah. That was somebody else agreeing with you. Well, that's a man's way to cook fish. It's time for a little man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Yeah, you're a man. Shop piece. That's funny. I don't know what you're laughing about.
No, I was reading the man law. That's all.
When picking players for sports teams, it is permissible to skip over your buddy in favor of better athletes. As long as you don't let him be the last sorry son of a gun standing on the sideline.
Somebody's got to be last, baby. Yeah.
Not your friend, though.
Did you experience that? Is this part
of
your...
No, I didn't write this. I didn't write this.
Going back to your childhood here?
No. I was never normally picking teams, nor was I ever last. I was just a middle of the roader.
Were you? Yeah, me too. I was never a star athlete.
No, I was never the first guy anybody picked, but I was never the last guy. So I was okay with that.
Right. I was good for an out, you know.
You know, in softball, I had a really good batting average because I always went for a double.
Yeah?
I wasn't a home run hitter, so I thought. So I never went for the fence. I just placed the ball where I wanted it and got on second.
Hey,
like,
man.
Every time.
You know, one out of three, you're in the Hall of Fame.
First or second,
right?
Yeah.
Yep, every time.
And I was just a center fielder for most of the time I played. Towards the last
five. Well, then you had some wheels.
Yeah.
At least didn't put you in right.
Yeah. The last 5 or 6 years, I was pitcher. But
I retract that wheels statement.
When I was 55, I had to quit pitching because the kids hitting against me were 25. And these titanium bats.
Smacking those hot shots back at you.
I couldn't see them fast enough. It got to be really dangerous.
Right.
I could not run backwards fast enough to get away from these little buggers.
And tink, whack.
Yeah, I'm not quick enough to get that ball, man. You can't see it. You can't catch it.
Right. Yeah. That is an issue, right? They make contacts for that, but not that kind of contact.
No,
right?
No, it's not a speed. You need Google glasses and some Red Bull.
All right, we're going to bring this train to the station. We're going to talk a little bit about whether you got your skin on or your skin off. Stick with us. We'll be
out.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, man, we've been covering a bunch of fish today, and we haven't gotten to the batters yet. And any good batter, in my opinion, on the fish is the fish needs to do the work, not the batter. The batter is a little bit of enhancement, gives you a little bit better texture, but really the flavor is in the fish, and you can enhance it a little bit with the batter. You agree with that, Bob?
Hey, batter.
Yeah, all right. But so let's talk a little bit about components of a batter, because they aren't all the same.
No, and there's a lot of different people that make mixes and sell mixes. Babe Winkleman's used to be a good one. I don't think they even ever did get that back on the market, but that was a great coating Chrissy used to have.
Yeah.
But it is essential to actually pour a beer in your batter mix.
Well, that's one of them. Yeah. I mean, the easiest one is a basic flour and water, right? There's your ingredients. Cup of flour, little salt, couple cups of water, mix it up into a consistency. I like it a little thinner so it doesn't get thick and globby on there.
So you'd use flour and beer.
Yeah, right. Well, that's the beer batter, right? It gives
you
a little bit of crunch.
You said water.
I did. That's the basic batter. But if you want a beer batter, substitute the beer for the water. You get a little carbonation, so your batter gets a little thicker, because when it mixes with the flour and the carbonation in the beer will make it a little fluffier.
Right. So throw some profiles in there and get, you know, just maybe a touch of garlic, maybe a little coriander, some lemon rind, lime rind.
Depends what beer you use,
something
right?
Like that.
I mean, if you're looking,
I'm just saying for a spice profile in that flour, throw something in there with it so your breading has some zest.
Right.
A little lemon zest, I guess, and black pepper is what I'm thinking, and some salt.
And here's a little secret. If you like it crunchy, some people just like that texture of it being more crunchy, just take and put a couple teaspoons of baking powder in your flour, and it will make it much crunchier of a fish than if you just use the flour. The flour can get a little gummy. That baking powder, again, causes that reaction, and it bubbles up a little bit,
nice.
And that creates more air pockets.
So it makes it crispier.
Which makes it crispier.
A little crunch,
right?
To it.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a lot of bad, you know, you see fish and chips everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of bad fish out there.
Oh, yeah.
My wife was real happy with some she ordered recently, and she was digging on it. So I said, oh, give me a taste. And, I mean, this tasted so much like fish. I'm thinking, okay, this came out of the fish factory in New York. This is not fish. This is some really old cod somebody was dying to get rid of.
Right.
And that's your, you know, your frozen mass distribution fish. We're talking what you do with fish you catch.
Right. Another tip, a beaten egg white. And it almost acts as a leavening agent when you mix it with the flour. Okay? And it's going to...
That makes sense.
But it's going to create a little structural integrity. It makes it a little bit tougher of a batter, so that what happens is you can move it around in your deep fryer a little bit more, and the batter won't fall off. But yet it still forms a fluffy, like little tender pouches.
I do that with waffles.
Yeah.
I'll whip up
yeah.
a bunch of egg whites and fold them into the waffle mix, pancake
yep.
mix.
Right.
And that makes for a beautiful...
You're talking about the same thing.
Fish or seafood. It is.
Right? It's the exact same thing. And then the last one that very few people ever do is a yeast batter. And what that does is this creates a kind of like a bread-like flavor.
It's like
flavor,
a breading.
But it's thick.
Yeah.
It's crunchy.
It's too much.
It's crusty.
It's too much.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of fish, but I agree. Now you're leaning towards the batter from
now,
the
like
fish.
People like my wife, they love that. The more bread... the better. She will, you know, she doesn't.
Because they don't like fish.
She doesn't even care if the fish is in there.
Right.
You can put a hot dog in there. Oh, it's the greatest.
But now we're making hush puppies. We're not taking fish. Yeah.
Corn dog.
Right. But anyway, hey, you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And get out there and create a little grill envy in your neighborhood. We'll talk with you next week.